Chapter 12. A Good Price. White Fang soon began to look forward to the dogfights. Tormented and kept a prisoner as he was, they were the only way he could let out the life that was inside him. He never knew what to expect. Once, a wild wolf was put in the pen. Another time, two dogs together. But nothing could win against White Fang. In the fall of that year, when the first snow came, Beauty put White Fang into a cage and took him on a journey up the Yukon River. Curious men surrounded him on the boat, and he snarled at them in rage. Wild creatures are not made for life in a cage, or for being laughed at by men, and his life now could get no worse. The boat arrived at Dawson, and the cage was carried on to land. Men paid 50 cents to see the fighting wolf, who was given no rest. If he lay down to sleep, a sharp stick was pushed into his side. There were regular fights when he was taken out of his cage and led into the forest a few miles from town. This was usually at night to avoid the Dawson police. It was a wild land, and the men were also wild, and the fights were usually to the death. The men came with their dollars, and they wanted to see a show. By now, White Fang had so much experience of fighting that no other dog had a chance. As time went by, the fights with dogs became fewer, until one day a man arrived with a new kind of fighting dog, a bulldog, the first in the Klondike area. The fight was announced, and in certain areas of town, nobody talked about anything else until the day came. Beauty took the chain from White Fang's neck and stepped back. White Fang did not attack at once. He stood still, his ears up, examining this curious creature. The bulldog was pushed forward, and it walked into the center of the circle. It did not seem in a hurry to fight.
"Go on, Cherokee," shouted its owner. "Eat him up."
Cherokee was lazy, and it did not even recognize White Fang as a dog. It was waiting for the real dog to appear. White Fang attacked first, tearing the bulldog's ear. As blood ran down its shoulder, Cherokee began to follow White Fang. Among the crowd, dollars were changing hands quickly. The bulldog had no fur, and its body was soft under White Fang's teeth. White Fang bit the dog again and again, each time dancing away out of his enemy's reach. Strangely, the bulldog did not cry out, but took its punishment silently. It was short, and its neck was huge and wide, and White Fang could not get to the creature's throat and its lifeblood, so he could not really hurt it. Occasionally, the bulldog ran beside White Fang and nearly closed its teeth on the wolf's throat. The dancing and running went on for some time. The bulldog was in no hurry, knowing there was only one end to any fight that it was in. White Fang tried to push the bulldog over, but it was too big and too close to the ground. He tried once too often, and the bulldog had its chance. For the first time in his fighting history, men saw White Fang knocked off his feet. He was thrown in the air and landed on his side. In a second, he was on his feet, but it was too late. Cherokee's teeth had already closed on his throat. White Fang fought blindly, turning round and round and throwing the bulldog from side to side. It did no good, because the bulldog just kept its hold. Tired out, White Fang could do nothing. Cherokee rolled the wolf onto his back and stood over him, its hold on his throat becoming tighter and crushing the life out of him. White Fang could not breathe, and it looked as if the fight was over. Beauty Smith was in a rage. He stepped close to the animals, pointed at White Fang, and laughed. As he had hoped, this pushed White Fang to try one last time. But he was soon unable to move. There were shouts all around the circle of, "Cherokee! Cherokee!" And those who had bet on the bulldog began to count their winnings. Just then came the sound of sled bells followed by dogs barking. The crowd was worried in case the police were coming, but it was two gold hunters. They stopped, curious to see what the excitement was about. Beauty knew that the fight was lost, and at that moment sprang on White Fang and began to kick him wildly. One of the two newcomers, a tall young man, pushed his way through the circle. Beauty had his leg raised to kick White Fang again when the man hit Beauty hard in the face. Beauty flew through the air, landing on his back in the snow. The young man turned to the crowd.
"You cowards!"
he shouted, now in a rage himself. His gray eyes were like cold metal.
"Come on, Matt, help me here,"
he called to the second man, his sled man. Matt took hold of White Fang, while the young man tried to pull the bulldog's teeth off of White Fang.
"It's no use, Mr. Scott," said Matt after a time.
Some of the crowd started to complain that the sport was not finished, but they stopped when the young man gave them an icy stare.
"There isn't much blood yet," said Matt. "This one hasn't got his teeth all the way in. The wolf's all fur and muscle, and the dog can't get through it."
"He's close, though," said Mr. Scott.
He took out his gun and pushed it into the bulldog's mouth. Bit by bit, he opened Cherokee's locked teeth.
"Where's the owner of this dog?" he shouted. "Come and get ready to pull him away."
The owner appeared and took hold of his dog.
"One, two, three,"
Mr. Scott counted.
"Now!"
The dogs were pulled away, and the bulldog was led off into the crowd. White Fang breathed at last and tried to get up, but his legs were too weak, and he fell back into the snow. His eyes were half closed and glassy, and his tongue was hanging out from his open mouth.
"He's just about finished," said Matt, "but he's still breathing."
Beauty was now back on his feet and came over.
"What's this dog's name?"
asked Mr. Scott.
"White Fang," growled Beauty.
"Matt, how much does a good sled dog cost?"
Mr. Scott asked.
"Around $300, I guess," Matt answered.
"And how much for one that's half dead?"
was Mr. Scott's next question.
"Half of that," Matt replied.
Mr. Scott turned to Beauty Smith.
"Did you hear that, Mr. Coward?" he said. "I'm going to take White Fang, and I'm going to give you $150.
He took out his wallet and counted the notes.
"I'm not selling,"
said Beauty, putting his hands behind his back.
"Yes, you are,"
said Mr. Scott,
"because I'm buying. Here's your money. The dog's mine."
When Beauty tried to back away, Mr. Scott jumped at him with his hand raised.
"A man has his rights,"
said Beauty in a whining voice.
"Correct," said Mr. Scott. "A man has rights. But you're not a man. You're a coward."
"Wait till I get back to Dawson," said Beauty. "You're robbing me. That dog's worth a lot more than $150. I'll get the police onto you."
"If you open your mouth when you get back to town," said Mr. Scott, "I'll have you thrown in prison. Understand?"
"Yes,"
said Beauty angrily.
"Yes, what?"
"Yes, sir,"
snarled Beauty. The crowd was now moving away.
Who's that?
One man asked another, pointing at Mr. Scott.
Whedon Scott, the other replied. He owns a lot of the land where the gold is. Keep away from him. He has important friends.